They play this tune a lot at Camden Yards, don't they? I've heard it a lot. Of course, they don't play it there anymore because the Orioles just didn't bother to do anything except hit one home run in two games.
Yeah, it's pretty quiet at Camden Yards right
exactly.
now.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a little, that's a, just a little gratuitous cheap shot.
Their minor
at the
league
Orioles.
Team has a music festival going on this weekend.
I saw that. The Bowie Bay Sox, huh?
They got tacos.
Are you going?
No, I'm not.
Okay. It's like tacos and tequila or something like
Headlined
that?
Headlined by Vanilla Ice.
Ooh, check out my hook while my DJ revolves it. Ice, ice, baby. No?
Yeah, no, you're right.
You know that.
I know, okay. But there's a reason why I'm not going.
That's the reason?
It's one of them.
Interesting. I'm just going to watch college football and four baseball playoff games all day tomorrow.
Well, that's another reason. There's a lot of good sports going on.
There is a lot of good sports going on. And then, of course, Sunday all day at Northwest Stadium. So before we get back to the calls on Jaden Daniels, whether or not he should be an MVP considerate, yes, this is a legitimate topic. It is not a topic because I created it or I needed something to talk about or what have you. I mean, ESPN needs to fill a lot of time, too. And if they're not talking about the Dallas Cowboys, they might as well be talking about the Washington Commanders, right? So Stephen A. Smith said, I think it was Thursday, that absolutely Jaden Daniels should be in consideration. Dan Orlovsky said, hold on one second. And he went Justin Jefferson, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen. Now, I think Josh Allen, because he didn't really play great last week, I moved him out of my top four and I moved Geno Smith in. So I would say, and I would go with the quarterback first. I can't believe I'm saying this because I've long been critical of Sam Darnold, but Sam Darnold's got to be number one right now. Quarterback 4-0 team, pretty darn good offense. Yes, he's got some great weapons. It's not just Justin Jefferson. You got it. Okay, we'll see how long that lasts. Maybe it stops and ends or gets limited this Sunday morning in London. And don't forget, you got a football starting at 9:30 Sunday morning. But I'm going Sam Darnold. I guess I'll put JJ at two just because he's just an absolute possessed man-child. I'll put Geno Smith at number three. I'll put Josh Allen at number four, and I'll put Jaden Daniels at number five. Is there anything wrong with me putting him at five? Not my top three. Should he be in the top three? Should he even be in the top five? Let's see how you think at 301-230-0980. Let's get to, where are we going here? Let's say hello to Rook in Landover on the Team 980. Good afternoon, Rook. How are you?
Afternoon, Rooster. Thanks for taking my call.
What's shaking, Bacon?
So, when I think about MVP, you know what I'm saying? I think about if that player is making other players better around him, or does the players around him make him better? And all I heard before the season was we don't have the roster. Terry isn't a true number one, but Jaden Daniels makes him look like a true number one. He makes other receivers look like they should be there. And, you know, I heard you talk about Sam Darnold. You know, Sam Darnold is looking good this season, but, you know, the defense, their defense ranked 14th. I was ranked 31st. Mm-hmm. He got Justin Jefferson and the weapons you said he had. So I think maybe if Sam Darnold, just put Sam Darnold on our team, would we get the same results?
That's a great question.
That's what I'm kind of basing it on. And maybe I would put Sam Darnold up there, but maybe I'll put I'm forgetting his name. Your boy from Seattle.
Geno Smith. Yeah.
Geno Smith first. Mm-hmm. Maybe Jaden Daniels and then Sam Darnold.
Here's the question. You bring up a good point that there is no doubt that Jaden so far is making guys that we consider, you know, nice NFL players or potentially good NFL receivers way better, right? There is no denying that he doesn't have a Justin Jefferson. He might not even have a Jordan Addison. I don't know. And he certainly doesn't have the defense, as you correctly mentioned. But I would say, yes, good points. But I would also say this. They dominated the Giants on the road. Okay, maybe not a big deal, but the Giants did beat Cleveland, so on and so forth, hung tight against Washington, hung tight against Dallas, but they also beat the 49ers and the Texans in back-to-back weeks. Granted, at home, and they destroyed the Texans, and then went on the road and beat the Packers. Now, they held on for dear life. I got it. The second half was not pretty, but they destroyed the... So, I guess the level of competition for me, for Sam Darnold, and by extension, Justin Jefferson... makes up for some of the things that you're correctly pointing out, that they have a great defense, so on and so forth.
Yeah. I feel you. I'm saying, like I said, I just think, you know, Dan Orlovsky is kind of wrong. I just think he believes in he belongs in the conversation. But thanks for taking my call.
Right, appreciate you, Rook. Thank you. Good job. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let's get to Nate in Upper Marlboro on the Team 980. Nate, how are you?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's up, Nate?
Man, I ain't nothing. Hey, I think that Jaden Daniels, I think he's definitely in the mix for MVP. I mean, just because of, you know, the state of the team and where the organization was. I mean, he's the piece. You know what I mean? He might not be a better quarterback at this moment than the other guys you named, but the situation and what he's doing with this team, I think definitely puts him in the conversation, especially, you know, if he keep ascending.
Well, if that's the point of consideration, which is more than fair, I mean, to your point, right, he took over a 4-win team. The Vikings didn't make the playoffs last year. They weren't as bad as the Commanders, right? Seattle didn't make the playoffs last year. They weren't as bad as the Commanders. Like, to your point, if we're talking about most valuable to his team, you would argue, or you can certainly make an argument, man, he took over and inherited a 4-win mess with a new head coach, a new coaching staff, new systems, new this, new that. And so far, he has made pedestrian to good players look way better than they probably are, which is technically the definition of being most valuable, right?
Yeah, and I would have to say, to me, I would say that the number one player in the league for MVP right now in the NFC, to me, will be Matthew Stafford, just because of all the injuries.
That's a good
one.
I mean,
his team is depleted everywhere, and he's still balling out. You lose him, they're done. You know what I mean?
That's a really good point. That's a really good point. I you know what? Stafford would certainly be in consideration for me, like, right on the outside of five. I don't know if I would put him up there yet, just because they had a stinker against Arizona. You know, yes, they got to overtime against Detroit, but I can't tell you you're crazy. That's a good point. Appreciate you, Nate. I got to let you run so we can keep the line moving here and get through as many calls as we can. 301-230-0980. Let's get to D-Dub. Next up, D-Dub, how are you?
How you doing, man?
What's shaking?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. What's going on?
I'm going on, man. I miss your boy, Linnell, man.
I don't miss him. No. My sanity is more important than you missing my boy, Linnell. Thank you for accusing me of losing my mind. By the way, there is good news to report. He's refusing to answer my texts, except he did text me last night, I believe right around 9 o'clock, one time, to say he did find his keys.
Beep, beep.
I was getting ready to ask you that. I was getting ready to ask you, but the red button.
I have no details. You know why, D-Dub? Because he's, as usual, being irresponsible by not answering my questions as to how it happened. I wanted details. I wanted to know exactly how he processed this. I wanted to know how he lost not only his keys, but what we didn't tell you on the air yesterday was his wallet, too. I wanted to know.
Oh, good.
And apparently, yeah.
He found that too?
Yeah, I guess.
The blessing. But I want to say this, man. Like, I wanted to say this yesterday. If the quarterback that we got, you know who his name. Y'all know who his name is, because the whole NFL is loving what's happening in Washington. They loving it. You got football players, Dallas football players, Atlanta football players talking about that boy. But I can't see him digressing. I see him getting better. And one thing we all forgot, all you football fans, this first four games, to me, is preseason because they changed the rules and them guys ain't out there. And normally the defense is always ahead of the offense.
Correct.
And I got our defense catching up with the offense. Maybe not as, you know, as good as the offense is, but you saw what happened last week. I see him playing better this week. I got us blowing Mr. Watson out. My last name is Watson. How about that, Deshaun?
Well, listen,
I love y'all, man.
Listen, appreciate you. I appreciate you. I mean, look, I think he's going to play fine. I think he could play good. I would not be expecting 40 points or 35-plus points or anything like that. That Cleveland Brown defense is still pretty damn good. They've got three corners. They got Myles Garrett. They got Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. I mean, I can list you their whole damn depth chart, but that's what you need to know. Now, they are missing one of their starting safeties, so that, you know, Thornhill, that's going to hurt. He's been out the last couple of weeks. It's not like they have – it's not like they're the light – the one thing that I think we should look out for in this particular game, because they play a lot of man, because Jim Schwartz is going to blitz the crap out of Jaden Daniels, or at least I think, maybe not the crap out of him, but I think he's going to crank up the blitz from time to time, and you would presume on third down, is Jaden Daniels being able to run again like he was basically the first six quarters of the season? Not that he hasn't since. Of course he has. But Jaden Daniels might be in a position where he gets 60-plus rushing yards in this game. And I understand what he is still. I get it. But because when you play more man-to-man defense, your back is often turned to the quarterback, that might be the way that Jaden makes, especially if Brian Robinson is limited or can't play, and he's said to be a game-time decision, said to be heading in the right direction. But again, just because you put on the uniform, just because you get cleared to play, does not mean that you're going to play the whole game, right? You could be in a situation where you have Eckler, where you have Jeremy McNichols. I presume they'll call up an extra running back just in case. That's what I would do, either Wiley or who's the other guy? Chris Rodriguez, one of the two, just so you have an extra body. But again, Jaden Daniels, I think in this particular game is going to be counted on more to break the pocket and extend plays and run away from the Browns defense and the Browns pass rush and specific Myles Garrett, meaning more towards his right. Like, that's what I would kind of look at. Right, just real quickly, so far through the four games, Jaden Daniels 16 for 88 in Tampa. Again, you don't want that much, but it might be, let's just put it this way, it might be 12 or 13. Not all by design, but it might be 12 or 13. Week 2 against the Giants, 10 for 44. Week 3 against the Bengals, 12 for 39. Week 4, last Sunday, 8 for 47. He's got four rushing touchdowns. Again, I'm not a big run the quarterback kind of guy. Never will be, never have been. I understand why it's important. I got it. I understand it all. Because they play more man, because they're an aggressive defense, because they like to get after it, I think Jaden is probably going to have to use his legs more than ideally I would like him to use. And maybe we see him by the end of Sunday get into that, again, 60 to 70 yard category. Maybe. I don't know if that's the way the game is going to play out. But clearly, I mean, you don't want him at 16 for 88. That's too much. Took a couple of shots in that game against Tampa, and he didn't really know exactly what he was doing against an aggressive blitzing defense. But again, we're talking about an aggressive blitzing defense. Well, that's what Cleveland is. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let's get to Lou next up. What up, sweet Lou? How are you? You going to pick on Benjamin St. Juice today or what?
Snap. Hey, last week, you know, you chose Arizona, and I told you not to choose Arizona. But
I was wrong.
I'm guessing you're going to do the same thing. And
Well, you don't know that because I haven't made my pick yet.
Exactly. And I think I could read your mind. I think you're going to go with Cleveland, your hometown.
My hometown. It's not my hometown. My kids live an hour from there. What do you want from me? Not my hometown. Shout out
to Tyler. Yeah, man. But I would put him, you know, the top two, top three, because I mean the simple fact that he came. I mean, he's a rookie. He came and turned the city upside down, dude. I mean, you're talking about not just the city. I'm talking about this, the entire league. So from a year ago where you're looking at their team to a point where we are today, 3-1, I mean, if we win tomorrow, that means we had 4-13 last season?
Well, yeah, tied the win mark, right. I put that out on Twitter this morning and you know, a couple of people liked it, but you know, if I sneezed in the wrong direction, or if I bashed Shador Sanders for one throw, a million people would like it or want to argue with me about it. But because I actually said something positive about the Commanders, only about 15 people liked it.
Nah, but look, all I'm saying is, like I said, I think he deserved to be on that top three. But like, to me, I mean, he got work to do, and I'm sure he knows that, and the team knows that, the coaches knows that. I know it. I'm not satisfied. I want to see this week in, week out, and you know, the defense side. Hopefully, they're gonna come up on Sunday big and make his job a little easier. And if they could do that and, help them out instead of, you know, the defense waiting on them to put up points or hold the ball to 8 minutes again, like 8 minutes drive. So I just hope the defense kind of pick up the slack on Sunday and let's get this thing rolling and 4-1 and 5-1, 6-1. You know what it is.
Yeah, I'm going to get into my game preview and a little more nitty gritty about the defense and going against this offense in just a little bit. But listen, one game at a time, go to 4-1. Right. It's a game that you absolutely can win. A lot of people would say should win. There are a lot of upsets in this league. We all know that. And it'll be a bad sign if they get pillaged by a pedestrian offense. And if we find out, well, maybe, you know what? Maybe we didn't have a good week of practice. Maybe we weren't ready for this. Maybe we were looking forward towards Baltimore. Maybe we were too high on ourselves. We will find out on Sunday. Thank you, Lou. Appreciate it. More of your calls coming up. 301-230-0980. I'm going to start getting more into the nitty gritty of my game preview, for whatever that's worth it. But I think I bring up a couple of good points every week, so I think it's worth spending some time. We'll spend time on both sides of the ball, and obviously a little bit on special teams as well. Again, we'll give you the injury updates and all of that and how that could work in the favor or against the Washington Commanders. That's straight ahead on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. On a feel-good football Friday, I've got my super six-pack picks already made. I just finished them off during the break. Looking at the board, you know how big of a gambling guy I am. I swim with the sharks off the coast of Cambodia all the time. They've fed me information. And I have that information to impart on you. Now, if only I could find my pen, that would be great. But I cannot do that right this moment. Well, that sucks for me. Coming up, a trending alert, including an injury report on the Commanders. And don't forget, in that Super Six Pack, and we do not one, but we do two, I will pick six games against the spread. Thank you, Matty. Appreciate it. I'll find it at some point amongst all my crap that's here on the console. But Matt just came in and threw a pen at me. Hey, at least I didn't lose my keys in my wallet, right? I mean, Woo! It's one thing to lose a pen that I literally just had to make my picks. It's another. But in this dueling Super Six Pack, which we will have coming up for you shortly, in this hour, in that, I do pick the Commanders game. Notice how I didn't just say, I pick the Commanders. I pick the Commanders game. We do that each and every week. You know, again, the Sharks off the coast of Cambodia, as I like to say, might tell you to leave this game alone. They might tell you that they know exactly what's going to happen. Just like a lot of Vegas handicappers tell you, they know exactly what's going to happen. But we don't know exactly what's going to happen. We just have gut feel based on common sense, intelligence. Last week, we were 4-2 after being 3-3 in each of the first 3 weeks. So I think we know a little something.
I was just about to ask, have we finally surpassed or fallen below 500? Because that's
we have not, Matt. You, ye of little faith.
Well, I mean, if we've been running, that's riding the lightning. That's right down the line. One bad game, and all of a sudden, boom, we're no longer above 500.
You're right. But, you know, much like the rest of the NFL, we are a parity-filled pick show. Okay, so we were 3-3, 3-3, 3-3. See, the NFL has taken away 500 from us in the NFL, unless you go 8-8-1, which only the Commanders majored in 2 years ago. And, by the way, which I picked them to have a tie this year. And maybe I'll still be right, although I'm kind of looking really light on that win total.
I was about to say, that Giants game was your, that was the tie.
I know. There, still 13 more, baby. I would say that, still 13 more. But either way, we will have the game at Northwest Stadium, the pick against the spread, and five other games as part of the week five NFL calendar. Plus, we'll rank six teams, six NFL teams, in order from 1 through 6, best to sixth best? I guess we can do that. Will I put the Commanders in my top six? See, Linnell was bark, 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 bark. His silly little committee over there did not put the Commanders not only in their top six.
They didn't get honorable mention.
They didn't even get honorable mention. And the honorable mention list is about 48 teams.
Well, it's three, but
maybe it's just three. Quick shout out to ET. Be safe on the way, and you know, have fun. You deserve it. I did want to spend just a quick minute or so, not to bring everybody down, but I appreciate everybody reaching out on Twitter, X, whatever, about my brother. Today's the 5-year anniversary of my brother's passing. Just spend a minute on that. He wasn't like the sports fan that I am, but the cool thing about our relationship, he was much younger. He was adopted, newborn, along with my sister when I was 15. I think I was 15. 1988. The cool thing about that is, you know, he knew, obviously, I love sports. He lived down in Florida. So whenever the Commanders then the Redskins would come down to Florida, whether it be Jacksonville, Tampa, or even Miami, he would always make a trip down to see me. And we would always, you know, be able to catch up for dinner, a couple of drinks, whatever, at the hotel and all that. And a couple of times he came to the, you know, games, preseason game in Jacksonville, preseason game in Tampa, regular season game in Jacksonville. I remember a picture I put up 2010, the day after Christmas. You think you're going down to Jacksonville for some warm weather, eh? No. It was 26 degrees in Jacksonville when I woke up at like 6:30 in the morning the day after Christmas. 26 degrees.
So 2010.
And flurries.
I remember that year because I was at Marymount at that time, and we did a training trip right after the new year to go down to Key West, mm-hmm. which a little bit further down.
Oh, yeah.
But it was still like between 40s and like maybe mid to upper 50s. Mm. Like we were lucky one day that we got a 60 degree weather. Yeah. It was not the best time in Key West.
I mean, listen, I guess you could say, well, dummy, it's late December. It could be cold anywhere, right? Yes, I understand that. But whenever you think Florida, right, you don't think snow.
No.
You know, we didn't have snow. There was flurries.
Well, yeah.
There was flurries.
It's going to rain every single day, regardless of the temperature. It's just, how is it coming down?
Yeah, and we did actually that night, 2010, Christmas night. I remember traveling with, you know, guys like my friends Chuck Sapienza, who runs 105.7, the Fan in Baltimore, Jamie Street, who occasionally helps out on the Nationals broadcast, Lenny the Legend, I think was down on that trip. I can't remember if he was or he wasn't. I think he was. But I remember going out to dinner in Jacksonville, and it was pouring rain on Christmas night. Now you say, well, what the hell are you doing? It was Christmas night. We had to leave for the game on Christmas Day, right? We left an hour later. They gave us until we didn't have to fly until 3 o'clock instead of 2 o'clock. It sucked, though, because the game didn't really mean anything for the then Redskins. It was the end of Mike Shanahan's first year, and they had already benched Donovan McNabb at that point. But they did actually win that game. They won 6 games that year, and they upset David Garrard and the Jacksonville Jaguars, who I think were playing for a playoff spot or could have clinched a playoff spot or what have you on that particular day. But that's one of the good memories that I have with my brother who left us 5 years ago. Just, you know, miss him every day and think about him and, you know, and the fact that my kids, you know, didn't get – I mean, they knew him and they knew him well and they got to spend some time. And Natalie has, you know, this this designer bag, one of the last things that I think the last time he saw them, you know, he bought her like a designer bag, and she still has it, and she still carries it around, and she still, you know, that's kind of like, you know, her little tribute. I put up a couple of pictures of me and him whatnot on Twitter and X earlier today. So if you want to go check that out, but thank you everybody for the nice words. I try not to do things for sympathy. I was just, you know, I was in, what do the kids say? All in my feelings. And, you know, I was kind of thinking about him and I was like, you know,
you were in your feels.
Yeah. Is it feels or feelings? Feels, right?
Feels.
Okay. Not my Justin Fields, in my feels. Okay. Yeah, it sucks to lose, you know, listen, when you're old, you're going to lose people. I've lost a lot of family members over the last, you know, couple of years. It sucks. It's never easy. I know everybody knows. So just, you know, love the people that you love. Be nice to people. Send that text. Make that call. Make that visit, you know, because you don't always get another chance. 301-230-0980. Coming up, our dueling super six packs. That's right. We'll break away from the Commanders conversation for just a wee little bit, and then we will get back to it with a ranking on Brian Robinson. But we'll have our dueling super six packs coming up. 6 games against the spread, including the Commanders, and our 6 top NFL teams ranked 1 through 6. Did the Commanders break through and make it into the top 6? The answer coming straight up. All right, so as the Commanders get ready to take on the Cleveland Browns this Sunday afternoon at 1 at Northwest Stadium in Landover, the Brownies come in at 1-3. The Commanders come in at 3-1. Now, Austin Eckler looks ready to go, according to Dan Quinn. Brian Robinson is trending in the right direction, but is a game-time decision. The bad news is Noah Brown's already been ruled out with a knee injury, and that has been a problem for him in the past part of his career. And Cleveland Farrell looks like he's out for a third consecutive game. They'll make some roster decisions in terms of the 21-day practice window for guys like Marcus Mariota, rookie linebacker Jordan McGee, and others coming up this weekend. And we may have word on that on Sunday. Our pregame coverage right here on the Team 980 begins at 9 a.m. with Earl Forsey. Then Linnell and Denton Day will carry you through to kickoff and through the game. Doc takes your calls on the way home out of Northwest Stadium. Should be a great atmosphere. Meanwhile, the NFL is not going to get involved in a potential return for Tua Tagovailoa. According to NFL officials, they have a record low of preseason concussions this year. They're not going to meddle and get involved. They're going to let the player, the team, the medical doctors make the decision. So that is, I guess, good. And it is expected that Tua Tagovailoa obviously is going to return. That was the report the other day. And how about this? Terry Francona, in case you missed it, back in baseball 1 year after stepping aside as Cleveland Guardians manager. He is now the new manager of the Cincinnati Reds agreeing to a 3-year deal with a club option for a fourth, and that's what's trending. All right, coming up in just a wee little bit, where did Brian Robinson rank amongst NFL running backs, according to one analyst for NFL media? We'll tell you, and we'll discuss. Brian Robinson, by the way, said to be a game-time decision, trending in the right direction. Again, keep in mind that just because he makes it through pregame, what have you, doesn't mean he's obviously going to play the whole game. He could easily get banged up in a pile, what have you, especially when you're dealing with a knee issue. I hope he's okay. They're getting Austin Eckler back. You know Jeremy McNichols will be part of the mix. I would presume, I don't know, I would presume that either Michael Wiley or Chris Rodriguez Jr. get elevated on game day to give them an extra body at running back in case something happens to Robinson, in case he can't go. But I don't know that. But I would presume that would be the case. All right, let's get to it right here, right now. My dual Super Sunday NFL six-packs. That's right. The most revolutionary radio segment of all time. I didn't steal it from anybody, unlike others. So therefore, I don't have to give credit to anybody because I created it myself. We do it each and every Friday. Six games against the NFL spread, and we always pick the Commanders game. And six NFL teams, the top six, ranked 1 through 6, and we start at the top. We don't waste time. We start at the top, 1 through 6. Did the Commanders make it this week for the first time? All right, let's get to it. My six games against the NFL spread. We start in London Friday morning. Cheerio! Sunday morning, not Friday morning. It's already past Friday morning. Cheerio! In London, the Vikings undefeated off of the tight win against Green Bay. They were blowing them out in the first half, not so much in the second half when Green Bay came alive, and the Vikings were a little bit sloppy. They take on the New York Jets. Speaking of sloppy, this is either going to be a big rebound for the Jets, Aaron Rodgers, Garrett Wilson, that offensive line, all sorts of false starts, all sorts of cadence issues, what have you. The Jets losing to the Denver Broncos in the rain. Can they get Garrett Wilson untracked against an aggressive, not blitzing as much Brian Flores defense, against their former quarterback and Sam Darnold? The Vikings and the Jets in London. 9:30 in the morning, I'm taking the Vikings. Minus the 2.5 to stay undefeated. Now, the Vikings are going to lose at some point. I got it. The Jets, to me, are capable of winning this game. I just don't know if the Jets have enough weapons to go with and toe-to-toe with the Vikings. And the Jets, as we told you about, they've struggled to stop the run. One of the worst-ranked defensive line yet. Yesterday, we told you. The worst-ranked defensive line, according to PFF, in the NFL. One spot behind the Commanders. Give me the Vikings, minus the 2.5. The Houston Texans survived last week. They survived against the Jacksonville Jaguars, who were desperate for a win. The Texans have not been great so far this year by any stretch, but C.J. Stroud had probably his best game of the year. Again, and he needed every little bit of it. They host the Buffalo Bills this week. Now, you may remember that the Bills traded Stephon Diggs to the Houston Texans. Diggs had a rushing touchdown last week. The Bills this week go to Houston, and they are going to be short a bunch of key players. Ed Oliver, probably their best defensive tackle. Austin Johnson, another defensive tackle. Starting safety Taylor Rapp. Remember, they lost their former two starting safeties over the offseason. All ruled out by Sean McDermott, and it gets worse. Wide receiver Khalil Shakir also ruled out. This is the back end of two road games against two good opponents. And the Buffalo Bills are going in, again, very, very shorthanded. Shakir, by the way, is the team-leading receiver for the Bills through four games. 230 yards, two touchdowns, 18 of 19 targets. That means more Curtis Samuel. You want to look at an overprop for Curtis Samuel on catches. We will see on that. But the Bills are really light going into this game. Give me the Houston Texans. They were already light and banged up in the linebacker level with Terrell Bernard and Taron Johnson. Those guys might play. They might not play. They are not absolutely ruled out. So we will see what happens with there. But either way, it would be their first game back in a while. Give me the Houston Texans minus one at home against the Buffalo Bills. The Seattle Seahawks back home on a short week after losing a Monday night football barn burner to the Detroit Lions. Listen, their defense can't be as bad as it was on Monday. So when you factor in the fact that the Giants have to go all the way to Seattle and now have no Malik Neighbors. See, we wait as long as we can on Friday to get some of the injury reports because it has a huge impact. No Malik Neighbors. He's been ruled out by Brian Daboll and the Giants. Seattle gets some of their guys back. Again, yes, it's a short week. You know what kind of hornet's nest it is to play in Seattle. Give me them minus the 7 over the New York Giants, and there'll be more calls for Daniel Jones to get benched or traded or whatever from the Giants fans who think, you know, every quarterback just snaps their fingers and walks into Seattle and Lumen Field and throws for 300 yards. Although, Sam Howell actually acquitted himself pretty well in the second half last year in Seattle. Give me Seattle minus the 7 over the Giants. Let's see. Game 4. Pittsburgh. Sunday night. Football against the Dallas Cowboys. First time the two teams have met on Sunday night football. Somehow, some way, with all of the butt-kissing that we do to America's team, somehow, some way, we've not gotten Dallas and Pittsburgh on a Sunday night. Well, that changes this Sunday at AccuShore Stadium. I think that's what they call it now. The Pittsburgh Steelers, 2.5-point favorites over the Cowboys, who come off of that perhaps season-saving win on last Thursday. So they got a little extra rest, but they have no DeMarcus Lawrence. They have probably no Micah Parsons. And they're already missing one of their backup receivers or contributory receivers. Give me the Pittsburgh Steelers. Justin Fields has actually been playing better than I thought he would. He's still not great. Pittsburgh will run the ball, I think, against this Dallas defense, especially with them being as light because of injuries. At home, give me the Steelers minus the 2.5 over the Dallas Cowboys. Game number four. Game number 5. My bad, I miscounted. The Jacksonville Jaguars somehow are 3-point favorites over the Indianapolis Colts, who come off of beating the undefeated previously Pittsburgh Steelers. But they have Joe Flacco in the fold. Anthony Richardson is said to be his status up in the air. I wouldn't count on Anthony Richardson, but the Colts just announced no Jonathan Taylor. So they're asking Joe Flacco to go on the road without Jonathan Taylor against the Jacksonville Jaguars, who stink, but played much better last Sunday, losing to Houston, basically late in that game, and who have to win a game at some point, right? I mean, Trevor Lawrence and Doug Peterson can't be this bad. Give me the Jaguars minus the 3. That's right. They're 3-point favorites at home, even with an 0-4 record, even against the Colts, who upset the Steelers last week. Jacksonville minus the 3 over Indianapolis. And our final game on the board, you know it, the Washington Commanders and the Cleveland Clowns. Will they be laughing? Will they be clowning around on Sunday? It says here that because of the injuries to Noah Brown and the potential status being very iffy of Brian Robinson and the Browns being a good defense, and I'm telling you, their offense can move the football. That's what the tape shows. That's what the numbers show. It says here this will be a very close game. I believe that. I believe it in my heart and in my head. But maybe I'm cursing you guys. I don't know. I'm going to roll with the burgundy and gold. Minus the 3.5. Something like 24-20? I've been saying all week 24 is that magic number. Give me the Commanders. Minus the 3.5, baby. 24-20. Over the Cleveland Clowns. at Northwest Stadium. So again, the Vikings minus the 2.5, the Commanders minus the 3.5, Texans minus 1, Seattle minus 7, a lot of favorites on the board. Pittsburgh minus 2.5, six favorites. I went six favorites. Ah! Jacksonville, Pittsburgh, Seattle, Texans, Washington, and the Minnesota Vikings. I'll put these picks up a little bit later. So far through the year, again, 3-3 in the first 3 weeks, 4-2 last week. So that makes us 13-11. All right, and quickly, just because we got to finish the segment and I took too long, my Super 6 rankings of the best six NFL teams. We'll start at the top, the Kansas City Chiefs at 4-0. Despite my inkling about all their injuries and Mahomes being mortal, the Kansas City Chiefs, back-to-back champions, they've earned it. Number two, Minnesota at 4-0. They stayed undefeated. They hung on for dear life in Lambeau, now in London against the messy Jets. Give me the Vikings as my number two team in the NFL. Makes sense. Number three, how about the Seattle Seahawks? Sure, they didn't play anybody until last Monday night, but they were valiant without a bunch of their starting defensive front seven. Again, they go home to play the Giants. Should be a pretty easy win. The Seattle Seahawks are number three. Number four, the Buffalo Bills. Yes, even though I picked against them in Houston, even though Houston is not my top six right now, I got to give credit to the Bills. Even though they lost in Baltimore, I think a lot of teams are mortal and are going to lose in Baltimore. Not every team, of course, but Buffalo gets still a little tip of the cap at number four. Pittsburgh is number five. The Steelers off of their first loss again, hosting the Cowboys on Sunday night. The narrative could change very much so by Sunday night. And at number six, did he do it? Did he do it? Hell yeah, I did. I put the damn Commanders at number six in my NFL Super Sunday six-pack. There you have it, boys and girls. Kansas City, Minnesota, Seattle, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, and the Washington Commanders on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, I'm going to save the Brian Robinson ranking for the other side of 3 o'clock. I want to squeeze in Mitch and Jersey here before the top. Get Mitch in.
Yeah, well, the car was old. It was not in the garage. I know.
Mitch. Hello, hey, Mitch. How are you?
Hello?
Yeah. Hi, Mitch. How are you?
Oh, I talked to you later. Hey, Chris, I'm sorry. Hey, by the way, I'm sorry about your brother's passing. I took it meant that it just happened recently, but
no.
5 years.
Yeah, it's
5 days.
Years. Thank you, though.
It's always in your heart.
Yeah,
my apologies.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
I definitely go top 10. It's like crazy. I think he's got Rookie of the Year. Sam Darnold probably the comeback player of the year. And I like his. I know they're going against good defense.
Well, right now he's going to be more than the comeback player of the year. Right now he would be he would be the MVP. Darnold, you're talking about Jaden being in the top 10 and needing to go against better defenses, right?
Yeah, I gotta go. Yeah, I think it'd be in the Rookie of the Year. Top 10 for MVP.
Yeah, all right. I got to go. I apologize. It's just, you know, we got to – I know you're busy, and I know I went to you quick, but unfortunately, we, you know, got to do a radio show around here, and we need you to, you know, be with us. I already have enough of those issues. I already have enough distracted components of this show. Right, Matt?
Baby Russell.
Sure.
Oh my goodness. you guys have no idea what goes on behind the scenes.
And his name was like Longfellow Tidwad or something.
Longfellow Tidwad on Twitter has been cranking out very good content. Did you want a little sample real quickly here before the top of the hour?
Go for it.
He tweeted, WMATA, at WMATA, has anyone found my car keys that I left? and then recently, I want the world to know I made my NFL picks down on paper with a pencil for Matt and Chris tagging us. Then he said, why am I having listeners calling my private phone looking for t-shirts? Did WrestleMania do this? And he said he got 25 t-shirt orders. Not bad considering everything. Well, it's because you gave out your cell phone number on the air. Oh, my goodness. Ugh. Amazing. Go follow at Longfellow underscore TWOD and you'll get a laugh. I have no idea who does it. I know people who think it's me. I know people who think it's Matt, who think it's Athens and Annapolis. I think I know who it is, although this person continues to deny that it is him. But I've been down this road before. At Longfellow underscore TWOD and you will get a laugh or two. All right, 3 o'clock straight ahead. Where did Brian Robinson rank? We'll tell you next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.